The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi-dee-ho, everyone. My name's Mr. Fruit, and welcome to the GG Over Easy podcast, episode 38.
Oh.
In today's episode, you know it, you love it. Destiny 2 drama. Destiny's back at it again, dude.
This is me dropping the tea bag.
We're sipping some tea.
Mouth.
Mm-hmm. We're sipping some tea. Hey, whoa, drama. On top of that, a four-year-old game somehow gets a new review and is rated perfect. Sure.
Huh?
Yeah. Nani?
Look at my eyes.
It's a little hard to tell. We can kind of like, whoop. And then it goes on to bring us more to the fact of video game reviews in general. Do they mean anything? Should they mean anything? Do we believe them? Do we not? What do we look for? Beyond that, we got some more entertainment talk, movies, shows, some more games, Patreon questions, life. What does it mean? Did you guys see the story about the parallel universe up in the...
Dude, that was one of the questions on the Patreon things, and I thought that was a joke, so I skipped over it.
Oh,
that's real?
Dude. Yeah. They're like... So they discovered it in like 2016 or something. So apparently up, I believe it's like north of the Arctic or something. They were scanning and they were able to identify and observe. I forget the word of exactly the particle it is, whatever. But normally you would see this, whatever it is, particle going into the Earth, but they're actually observing it going like leaving, which is absolutely contrary to everything we know, which is essentially like if things were going in reverse. And so for the last like 3-4 years, they've been essentially hypothesizing and testing everything they know to try and figure out what it is. And so far, they still haven't been able to figure out what it is or debunk the theory that is an alternate universe, but it runs in reverse time. So it's us, but everything's playing backwards. It's pretty sick, dude. It's kind of like sci-fi or whatever. But,
that sounds tight, dude.
But like, I'll believe it, even if it's not true.
I don't know what any of that means and how that proves anything.
But that's the thing, like why it was more recent. It's because they came out with another like finding, like, hey, we've been trying everything. Like everyone's like, they don't believe us. It could be this, and we've tried everything, and we still don't have an answer. So currently it's not the answer, but it's the running theory. And that would be pretty sick. So
would be interesting.
Well, what a way to start the podcast. Hey, anyway,
yeah,
hope you guys enjoy the episode.
Ever.
Let's get into it. Welcome back to this episode of GG Over Easy, episode 38. That's 2 away from 40. Quick maths.
We're getting old.
Already old. I've accepted.
Why is my cam like not focusing? But whatever.
It's probably not focusing because it can't contact your eyes because you're wearing what, Rob?
I'm wearing my snowboarding goggles because I have pink eye. And it's kind of embarrassing.
Someone farted on his pillow. Gross.
No, nobody farted on said pillow. Or no.
Yeah,
you
say that, but like, what if she did as a joke?
Man. I don't think Sydney would do that. I don't, or Max. I don't think Max or Sydney would do that to me, as I would be quite upset. Because this is the first time I've ever had pink eye, and it's awful. It is terrible. I woke up this morning, dude, and like, so like 2 days ago, like the top of my eye just like started itching. So I just kept going like this all day, like just going, and I didn't think of anything of it. And then yesterday I had like a bump there, like a bump on my eyelid. And then I was streaming and then everyone was like, it's a cyst, Rob. It's just like, or something, a sty or something like that.
It's a parasite.
So dude. So I went to go get like some droplets from the Walgreens. And all of a sudden I got really scared and was like, am I going to lose my eyeball? Like, cause I started losing vision. I'm like, am I going to lose my eye? Like, that's all I want to know, doc. And she's like, I'm a cashier. All right. I don't know.
It's like, listen, I work here for minimum wage. Like, what do you want from me right now?
And so like, I woke up this morning at like 5 a.m. cause that's when Max wants his food. And I kid you not, dude, like I woke up and it still felt like I was asleep because my left eye would just not open. And I go to like the mirror and that's when I took a picture of it. I literally had like a clean gloss of like orange goo, like pus that had just like,
nice.
Like glued over, dude. And I literally had to like,
okay, we don't need the details. We can stop that. We get it. You got pink eye. All right, great. Thanks. No.
I was like,
I'm good. You made me.
Oh, it's not that bad. That's what's making you sick.
I just don't want to hear about it.
Is that how you wanted to start your morning, seeing that picture?
No.
Have you ever had pink eye?
Thanks for that. I don't think I have.
No. I get
something with my eye, aside from, you know, being blind, but I don't know. But speaking of which,
you blue?
I have, well, I don't really know why, but I haven't gotten an eye exam in a couple years, which
eyes suck.
For the regular person, it's like, okay, yeah, that's me. But if you have people, obviously, who know that have vision problems, you go at least once a year. But we kept moving, and I'm terrible at that kind of stuff. But now I've been getting all these migraines, and I'm worried that it might have to do with
glasses.
Yeah, it might have to do with like my prescription. Because, I mean, usually every year I'm changing my prescription. It might be a little gradual.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking like, you know, add that gradual change over a couple of years, and then I've been using these same ones, so gonna be getting that checked out. But I called too, by the way, called like a week ago, and I was like, hey, like, yeah, eye exam, whatever, like I've been here before. And they're like, yeah, as soon as we get you in, it's like June 20th. I'm like, what? Is every
June 20th?
Is quarantine making everyone
like
blind?
Look at pictures and go like, that's blurry.
Yeah,
that
was like, is everyone
cool.
Going blind? Like, what do you mean you don't have an opening till it's I don't know.
Do you work? You don't wear glasses, Blue, do you?
There's contacts. Sometimes.
Oh, just sometimes. Wait, when you talk, your Discord thing like moves. That's interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, that's very
good. Fucking pissed, Rob.
You like that? Yeah, you did it, girl. I will say that I think I'm going to try and get some new frames, though. Like, you know, like a new me. Like, you know, rediscover.
What do you mean
reinvent
frames?
Myself. Like my glasses.
What they're just normal frames. Like what else?
Well, no,
what,
I mean,
like
I've had
Ray-Bans
these,
or something. Like
actually,
Mr.
I was
hip
looking
guy?
At them. Yeah.
Oh.
Now that you specifically said,
you would look pretty hip.
Looking at Ray-Bans, but something because I've these are the same glasses I've worn for the past 5 years. I think I got them because.
Wait, you haven't changed your glasses in 5 years?
No, because it was I remember intramural dodgeball sophomore year of college, dude pegs me in the face, breaks my glasses in two, and I was like the quintessential, like it literally sprit on the bridge of my nose. So I was like the quintessential dude. That was my only pair, so I literally ran around with a taped like in the middle. I literally looked like
no
that
way.
Guy. Yeah, so that's when I got these glasses, and I've had them ever since.
So and you haven't had like a test in 5 years?
Yeah, like five, I guess. Or well, I think I went in four, and they were like, well, you could change your prescription, but like it's pretty like minimal. We'll just like check on in like 6 months and maybe change them then. Well, here we are 4.5 years later or whatever. So my bad, but I'm hoping that's part of the problem. But
wait,
then
you had another migraine episode?
Yeah, I've had a couple. And the thing, too, is what sucks is like it's not a one-time thing. When they come, it's like 3-4 days. Of just like waves. I just want to die.
Really?
Yeah. So I want to hopefully figure out whatever the fudge it is.
Will you get a migraine? Does your vision go? Or like what do you like? Because when I get a migraine, my vision gets super blurry. And like I need to sit in the dark.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely photosensitive. For me though, like I can feel it specifically in like one spot of like my forehead when it starts. I get like really sharp pain there. Pulsating. I get really dizzy, nauseous. Like light sensitive, I can't look at screens. I can't do anything. But that's the worst part, too, is like, if I'm not able to sleep, I just lay there. Like, that's my life.
And then you envision your house, and then you slowly drink.
I know. Come fly with me. Let's fly. Anyway, let's get into today's episode.
Plenty Speaking of fly, let's talk about the lie that
Oh, no.
Is,
please don't make me.
That was yes, a bit no, of a stretch, please, but I like no, it. It rhymes.
Please yes. don't make me talk about this.
Blue, I want it. Hey. Like, I literally like wake up and I see Blue's tweet about something about the quest. And then Christian says, like, this is going to be good. And then with like, a popcorn emoji. And I'm just sitting there like, hey guys, like what's going on?
hey guys.
And little did I know.
Is Destiny hot right now?
Bungie's back at it again.
The answer is no. Destiny's not hot right now.
No. And that's the thing, Rob. Destiny's not back at it. They have been at this for a while now.
It's been an interesting few months of terrible bugs.
And we got like some drama. Hold on.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Well, I have to interrupt you because we need to call our Destiny drama guy. And then we need like a ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-bum, or something like that.
Whoa, here comes the Destiny drama expert.
Strange Penguin, thank you for joining us. Our Destiny
I need my drama lenses for these.
Our Destiny 2 drama guy. You're our guy.
What's the drama, though? I didn't know there was any drama this week.
Oh, that's a lie. Hey.
Oh, get it? Because the lie.
Way to set me up for that one. I didn't even see it until I like walked into it.
Yeah. Anyway,
until I walked into it.
Well, in this week's session of shit that Bungie does, which is kind of pog, but also sometimes not pog, but sometimes it's pretty pog. But this week was not pog.
Recently, been pog.
In Bungie decided, hey, let's have the. Remember last week, Rob, where we were like, hey, let's farm a PvP gun and a PvP activity.
Yeah, and you guys had to like turn in stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I saw a really funny meme, and it was like Toy Story when the kid has like a short little thing, but then he turns and it's like really long, like a little short gift, and it was really funny, and it was alluding to that little quest bar, to how long it was. It's funny.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, future Rob.
Yeah, it kind of does look like you're from the future.
You look tight.
I look like I have the marathon Halo 3 helmet.
Is this how you stream today?
Yeah,
I did. I'm just really self-conscious about it.
Dude, you look sick in it, though. I'm not going to lie. It looks kind of...
It's a new wave, dude.
Yeah, that's Thank the you. Wave.
Dr. So, Disrespect who?
Well, oh, real quick. It was really funny because like I was wearing these and I was like, oh, wait, I could just wear my Oculus Rift headset. And then I put it on and then I was like,
you can't see.
Oh, wait, I can't see the game. Like, as soon as I put them on, I was like, oh, wait a second. That was bad. Anyways,
so the lie quest completed. And people were like, wow.
So we get Felwinter's lie now. Yes.
No, yes. Guess what? The gun quest itself was made available. That step, the community step, was completed on Sunday night, right?
I think so.
Something like that.
Or like Monday morning, yeah.
People couldn't get the gun until today.
So Which is Sunday the 6th, for people. So Sunday the 17th.
Yeah, yes. Today we're recording this the 21st.
Is when the community event finished and people started going on their merry way to get the Felwinter's lie. And they probably thought, wow, I can't wait to get this cool piece of nostalgia weapon from Destiny 1 to finally put it into my God tier guardian arsenal. Wow, the Vanguard's going to be so proud of me. Guess what?
The quest was bugged. Yeah. Literally, you couldn't progress.
The quest was bugged.
When you started the quest, it would take you to Eris instead of starting the quest in the bunker. So you couldn't do the quest. And it was pretty funny because people started thinking it was a secret. Like, oh, to get this fellow in shotgun, we have to do like, there has to be something Bunny's in the bunker.
Like,
that we haven't figured out. Dado starts streaming. He was like, oh, a secret. Yes, finally.
Oh, no.
And then, so then they're trying to figure it out. And they're like, whoa, what's happening? Do we have to turn something on in the bunker? Is there a screen? I wonder, oh, maybe it's the pyramids. And then Bungie tweets, hey guys, so we kind of fucked up and the quest is bugged. We're going to do a hot fix one of these days.
One of these days?
Well, I mean, to be fair, they're like, we need to figure out what the problem is. And then once we figure out the problem, we need to do certification so that we don't release it. And then it just causes more bugs.
So that part I understand. 26-minute stream where he then realizes, oh, The quest is just bugged. So for about 30 minutes, everyone actually thought, wow, there must be a secret to getting this gun. But
oh, I wish I was watching then. That would have been hilarious.
But it quickly devolved into, oh.
Right.
I guess I'll wake up tomorrow. And then tomorrow, it didn't happen. And then people said, next I guess I'll happen. Wake up tomorrow. And then it didn't happen. And then they said, I guess I'll wake up tomorrow. And guess what? Tomorrow is today because we're recording this on Thursday.
And it did happen.
And people got the shotgun that is marginally better than all the other PvP shotguns.
Is that what, like, the door was? I kept seeing it. That's when, like, I've noticed Twitter accounts that I follow, literally, like, all they post are Destiny 2 memes. And I just can't do it anymore. All I saw that day was just my timeline full of, like, the door, like, these memes. And I'm like, I'm over it.
Dude.
Just give him the gun so I don't have to see this.
Easy solution, dude. Unmute Dork. And that'll fix your timeline.
I don't think that will. I think that'll be the opposite.
Well, it won't be so many timeline. Destiny memes. I mean, if that's your problem.
I think I'd rather have Destiny 2.
Yeah, that's a risky click, buddy.
Yo, it looks weird. This looks like my forehead right here, and it looks like these are like small sunglasses I'm wearing right here. Like just from this little angle. That's weird.
Anyways,
thanks again, Ron.
That's This Week in Bungie. How did you guys do this week on this fine news of...
So people have the gun now.
Yeah.
Is it tight? Oh, I mean, by the way, go figure. Best Destiny gets another gun that we've already had. Good job, guys. Was it safe? Was it worth it?
From what I have... what's the word? From what I have deduced from all of the testing people have done, the gun is, in fact, a little better than all the other shotguns we already have.
Yeah, apparently it's just like, hey, did you grind a God Roll Mindbender's Ambition? Well, here's a Fellwinter's Lie, which is great because I haven't.
That's gonna not be usable in a year, Pog.
Yeah,
that is true.
We got this Pog as Blue was mentioning. Like, yo, I got the sick arsenal for the Vanguard. They're gonna love this. Can't wait for them to retire half of this though to bring it back later.
In the TWAB today, they showed some of the guns that would be in Season 11, and lo and behold, like it's like this laundry list of guns we already have. It's like, wow, thanks for...
You could literally... I think there are more guns that we've had than are new at this point.
Well, it was kind of weird because they talked about how they were putting like a universal Ingram where they have just Vanguard, Gambit, and Crucible stuff, and I'm just kind of like, what? Why? So it has all these old guns from the previous seasons that are usable in Season 11. It's like, okay, cool, but like, why?
I want to face Ingram. But I can't.
Why is this Ingram not world drops? And why is it like just a random like, hey, pick out from one of the. It's one of those cheap like carnival, like claw box, like the one where you claw to get the toy out. Except like it's all old toys. It's like a really cheap carnival. That's what it feels like. Yeah, nobody really wants the toys, but they're there.
Well, I have a token, so might as well use
it. I'm interested, before we move on, Fruit, how do you feel about the whole sunsetting thing? Precursor for people who don't know, sunsetting basically means that the weapons we have a time limit from when they're introduced. So, like, say, like, your guns from the start of Shadowkeep, they're not going to be brought into the next expansion because they're going to have their light level cap. So, Fruit, how do you feel about this?
Boy.
Right. I don't even know what that means.
Well,
it's
like retiring.
Explain to me like I'm five.
Okay.
Remember in D1 where you got a gun from Vogue, and then in Crota's End, the next DLC, those guns were dog shit because you couldn't bring them up to the next light level?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, but instead of like the next expansion making them obsolete, they just have like a year timer on them now, essentially, before they stop going past current light level.
Yeah, so what? Eventually, why? Whatever weapons they decide, new season starts or a year from whenever it releases, suddenly you can no longer infuse it. It's going to stay behind. So
that's stupid.
You could still use it technically. Really, the only place you could use it is in regular PvP that's not light level enabled.
Yeah.
But here's the way I see sunsetting. I could see it to some degree. One, though, I think a big part of sunsetting is actually a band-aid fix to a bigger issue, which is you don't know how to balance your game. So instead, you're like, we have these broken guns. We don't know what to do. Just take them away. There, problem solved.
Like, And it's like, well, we can't, like, there's too many damage and reload perks. They're so strong. And it's like, well, maybe if our primaries didn't hit, like, pellet guns, then we wouldn't want to have damage boosting. Remember when, like, a hand cannon would one-tap, like, an acolyte? Those days are
nice day.
About four years back in the day, Cafe. Haven't had those years in a while.
What does a hand cannon kill an acolyte in now?
Most hand cannons, like, two-tap. An acolyte, of all things.
But yeah, so that's what, I mean, like, that, and then perk diversity, like one, like why does everybody use issue. These was because all the other ones either suck or like the one where it's like crouching gives you boosted accuracy after a short amount of
while
time
sliding.
Or like field whatever that like that or there's some of them where it's like when am I ever gonna use this or it's just hey this does more damage or like hey do more damage and reload faster. It was like make more interesting perks to contest with those.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole sunsetting thing, I think that's a big issue. Is like, one, if you get down to it, it seems like that's part of the issue. They're like, hey, we don't know what to do. But then it became even more evident, which is when I like lulled to, or I had like a popcorn tweet, the Blues tweet, because I hadn't read the TWAB yet, I think. When I saw Blues tweet, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah. And turns out that they essentially said, hey, we're sunsetting some guns. So we can take them away from you, but then in like a year, reintroduce them and you can grind for them again.
It's just...
And
I'm not against it if they can introduce cool guns to go along with it, but the way it's worded, it just kind of seems like we're just going to be going through the cycle of weapons we've already had.
Yeah. Like at this point, they're like, yeah, we instead of coming up with new stuff, we're just going to take away your current stuff and then bring it back later. It's even worse than what they're doing with D1 guns. It's like... Imagine it's like we didn't have the D1 gun. They brought the D1 gun back, but then they're like, hey, we're sunsetting this D1 gun again.
Wait, they're
and then we're gonna reintroduce it.
D1 guns?
Oh well, we don't know specifically, but like what I'm saying is like instead of making new interesting gear, they're just taking away some of your current ones to then reintroduce them later.
I'm still and the same giving the benefit of the doubt, because hopefully they do introduce weapons in a time like in a quantity enough. In a timely enough manner that people are like, oh, there's enough guns for me to use. But we don't even get that now. So I'm...
Yeah, there's. Yeah. I was going to say, we're not getting that now. So what little, makes you think so, that you're going to get so, that later?
So I'm a little apprehensive, obviously. But the other problem is, like, why is armor getting sunsetted?
Oh, yeah, that's the stupidest
thing,
too.
Wait, I thought armor's getting transmogged. Like, you can transmog armor.
Yeah, it's
like,
getting transmogged, but you still
why
have
would they sunset it, then?
Bro, you and I... Dude, I don't know. I don't understand why armor is getting sunset when armor is already basically fashion game. Like every piece of armor turns into the same thing ultimately. Like I'm gonna reroll it to void and make sure like have all the sniper and hand cannon perks on my gun, right? So it just kind of seems like an artificial way of like making you spend your ascendant and enhancement prisms. Which is like, okay, nobody
already
even has
so
those right now
too.
Anyways, if you don't play the game.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, weird. I don't know why you want to do that. Like, it's not like people like get armor because they want the perks on the armor because those don't exist anymore. They want the armor because it looks good. So, I mean, transmog makes this hurt a little less. I don't know how their transmog system is going to roll out because I don't even know if it's going to come out when the expansion pops
transmog
out.
Transmog is you
I don't
can
think
use
so.
Any gear, right? From year one, year two to make it look like but then like use the stats from another thing right okay
well no you can't use stats it's just it's pure appearance
no what I'm saying is like the pure appearance
it's the way
it
ornaments
like.
Work right now pretty much
okay
yeah so they're implementing a way where you could turn any piece of armor into an ornament which is tight
that
long
is
time cool. coming this makes but, armor sunsetting not hurt
should have been
much.
A thing when D2 came out
a step forward then three four five steps back.
Yeah, my main problem with sunsetting is one that I've talked about a lot, and it's probably the core issue most people have. When people like refer to like, well, this is how it works in MMOs, don't you know that? It's like, okay, false equivalence. One, because most gear in MMOs are just stat sticks. Like oh, plus this intelligence, plus skill speed. Mm-hmm. They don't actually change the core fundamentals of what your character does, which is based on like I level up, I get new skills. These skills are with me forever, right? Unless they're balanced or they're changing future updates or they're upgraded, blah 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 blah. The problem with in Destiny, our gear is our character. Like, we don't have
identity.
Like, our weapons increase our damage we deal. Our weapons make shit explode. Exotics themselves do all kinds of different things. It's a good thing exotics aren't being sunsetted, but our legendary gear defines our character. So imagine you are rolling in an MMO, and then the next expansion you have to like start leveling up abilities you had the previous expansion. That would be ridiculous. Like, it would be dumb. Like, no one, everyone would be like, "Why?
Skill tree.
Why am I regrinding the skill tree I already grinded from the last expansion?" That's the closest to true comparison of what is happening. Because
most MMOs have more content.
And most MMOs have more content, and most MMOs treat little stat sticks better than Destiny treats their guns, because I can transmog my stat stick. Like, in Final Fantasy, I have this sick fucking level 66 like Dome and Steel gunblade. Of course, I can't like bring its stats to level 80, but I can transmog it onto my current gunblade, and lo and behold, I have this sick fucking Dome and Steel gunblade on my back. I could take that shit with me forever if I wanted to. And that's tight because I'm connected to that gun. So it's just kind of weird to me that Bungie is like, and a lot of the community is like, you know, man, like, as a game dev, like, I hate seeing people love their loot. Like, that's just bad player engagement, you know? So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm very skeptical.
Yeah,
hope it's tight though, poggers.
I don't give any benefit of that anymore. Yes, Rob.
Oh, thank gosh. I was wondering, Mr. Westlow, is there anything I was about to ask? You've been getting back into Final Fantasy lately. Final Fantasy 14.
Final Fantasy is tight.
Is there anything you would like to see from Final Fantasy 14?
Everything.
Be moved into Destiny 2?
Pretty much everything.
Like what? Specifically what? Like, what is your biggest thing you wish Bungie would take from Final Fantasy and put it into Destiny?
So one of the biggest things for me in Final Fantasy is there's all this old content I could do. And the game respects my time because all that old stuff is relevant to my end game, because most of that stuff can, all that stuff can be transmogged. So if I see something cool, like at a really old dungeon, I'm like, oh, sick. Like, that would be like cool fashion. Like, I could put that on my glam plates, which are like,
Just pure cosmetic look. Like, still want to go do that dungeon because you can make your current gear look like that, because it looks
cool. Yeah, exactly. And then there's this entire mount grind, which hopefully Destiny is moving in the direction of, where all these old dungeons, you could do like extreme versions of trials and they'll give you mounts. You can grind out like these factions, which give you like unique armor, unique gear, unique mounts, unique fucking everything. Honestly, there's so many different vendors that give you so many different things. And when I'm playing old content,
like a Dead Orbit Sparrow, if you got to like level faction 100 or something like that, even if there was Dead Orbit.
The biggest thing for me in Final Fantasy is everything's an investment. So no matter what you're doing, you're always working toward something that is like a progression system. So you sign up for your alliance, you're like the Storm fucking faction, and I could get like currency from that, for that faction, just by doing like my daily roulette stuff, which is just like, you know, like normal dailies. When I do normal dailies, I get like bonus XP for my classes. So if I have multiple classes I want to level up, I just do my dailies, and I have a reason to log in every day to level up, like get extra XP for leveling my other classes. Or there's like, if you want to get to like the max level that's like not raid tier, then you can grind those dailies as well to get like cool little what's the word?
But so there's always something for you to do that has a purpose behind it.
There's so much to the economy that when you do one thing, you're doing multiple things for other things. And then there's also really specific things, like there's like relic weapons you could do to get like really unique weapons that you don't get anywhere else. You can like right now there's an event with Moogle Tombstones where they bring back mounts that maybe you couldn't get before, and you grind out like certain dungeons that they have listed, like, oh, this dungeon gives you cool Moogle Tombstones. You could use those tombstones to buy these cool mounts maybe you didn't get. Fuck you! Like it's so exhaustive. Like, there's just so much to the game, and this is how it is in every other MMO. Is they still respect what the previous expansions did. They don't make them totally irrelevant, and it kind of feels like Bungie has never figured out how to do that. Mm-hmm. So when someone new comes in, 99% of the time, until they get to like level, whatever level we are right now,
You play like the brand new expansion.
You're playing and it's like, yeah, none of that matters. None of that matters. None of that matters. None of that matters. Yeah, you don't even care about that. Oh, you finally got to Last Wish. Okay, now you could start doing stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's just so much. I mean, there's a reason MMOs are called MMOs, right? They're massively multiplayer online. There's ridiculous amount of content. But there's just no complexity to, like, Destiny is like, okay, there's Vanguard, Gambit. And then Cryptarch has like some cool engrams for you. Okay, what else is there? There's some planetary vendors. Oh, what do they give? Some armor. Oh, cool. Do they give any cool weapons or anything or sparrows? No. Oh.
None of it's been updated since vanilla, by the way.
None of that's been updated, huh? Yeah, no, not really. So when do I get to start playing the game? Oh, when you get to around Forsaken, except those guns are going to be retired. So yeah, hopefully you run Last Wish. Yeah, so it's
When's the last time you played Destiny?
I just played on Tuesday, actually. Okay. I still play Destiny, right? It's just I just can't.
But you've been playing Final Fantasy more.
I'm losing so much Final Fantasy, dude. I don't know why it didn't grab me before, but I love Final Fantasy.
You just know that. I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you.
It's super fun, man.
Every time I saw my Steam notification say Blue Wessel playing Destiny 2, my heart would like sink for you.
Pepe hands. Like, yeah. Why are you going back?
It'd be like, no. Going back to the abusive relationship, dude. He almost got out. You're better than him, Blue. You're better.
Well, speaking of
better king.
Oof gaming moments.
Overwatch?
IGN's 4 year, is it 4 year, like Overwatch retrospective review or something?
I don't know, dude.
God only knows what. I guess there's nothing else to do. So they're like, hey, it's been 4 years since Overwatch came out. Let's re-review it. And then they re-review it and give it a perfect score. They give it a 10 out of a 10. What?
What are they?
LMAO.
Hold on, let me read this.
It's a perfect game.
I'm most interested in how Rob feels about this, as Rob was the Overwatch guru.
I don't know.
Every ranked season, Rob would be in there in the trenches, getting his first 10.
With Pharah.
Back in the day, sure, but like, oh my. That was like two years ago,
2.5 years ago.
Yeah, like I haven't just played that in so long. Ugh.
And there's 9. No way.
Amazing.
There's no way they give it a perfect now, and they actually played it. It has to be like rose tinted glasses.
Back in the day, I would have been like, "Oh,
because it got a 9.4 when it first came out. It got a 9.4 on its first review,
and now and it's it
somehow
10,
perfect.
Like...
And it got a perfect 10. It's a masterpiece. It says Overwatch is a masterpiece, a dazzling amalgam of unique characters, a stunning style, and compelling dynamic action. That's literally all it says, and then 10.
Never mind the fact that they keep adding new characters that completely break their game, and then they have to figure out how in the world to fix their game, and they can't
figure
it out.
And then they ruin Genji, and they never make Genji relevant again, and Blue never comes back, because then they change Hanzo's kit completely, and now Blue doesn't want to play any of the Weeb classes, and now I'm gone.
The no verdict. Weeb, Overwatch is a one-of-a-kind hero shooter that is far and away the best of its genre.
Team Fortress 2 still exists.
I mean, is true, though. I wish we had more hero shooters.
You think Overwatch is the best hero shooter out right now?
Absolutely.
I mean, I have more fun with Paladins.
That's true.
And people say that's budget Overwatch.
At this point, you're coming up on probably doing more Paladin than Overwatch videos.
That's true. I mean, recently, like, I would, if I had to choose right now, make Overwatch content for the rest of my life, or Paladins, I'd use Paladins. I would I would lose my mind.
It's the Paladin-only channel.
We kind of like briefly touched on it, and there was the whole drama when we did that one video, but like to come back 4 years later and give it a better rating than it had at launch to say it's perfect when it's been on a downward trend, like,
is insane.
It just makes no sense.
It offers variety, depth, and a style that very few come to close to matching.
See, I would argue the variety the part too. Like, there's not much variety. I mean, custom games, yeah. Like, there's
a
lot of fun.
It's a sick art style, too, as far as...
It is.
And the lore is cool. I like the lore of Overwatch. I do like the characters.
Yeah, there's, like, 2 paragraphs per character, right? Some of them have, like, cinematics.
Like, nobody does it like Blizzard does. And the art style is super sick, but, man, It's like Overwatch was like a game that I started playing and I was like, dude, this game is going to be sick. And then like they developed it like it was an early access title where like everything changed constantly. And at that point, like you come back 2 years later and it's like, wow, this is nothing like what I remembered.
Dude, I think this is the funniest line in this whole thing. Its four-year-old foundation has been lovingly crafted into an unparalleled multiplayer experience that it offers today. They really think that Overwatch has been loved and been like taken care of, and like if anything, dude, has been beaten, tortured, run through the ringer, kicked out, made come back, like oh, so bad. From now, it's now cherished characters and expertly crafted maps to outstanding sound design and dynamic action. It's a masterpiece of competitive gameplay. Most importantly of all, though, it's never stopped being ridiculously fun after all these years. It has to be like an IGN Overwatch stan.
Some guy who's like puts in 200 hours every week still. They're like, hey, write a review. He's like, yes.
Because Overwatch has... For some reason, stands, man. Like they love Overwatch to this day. I mean, good for them.
But like, I mean, I can't argue with a lot of that stuff. Like audio, of course, great. Graphics, great. Like maps, like so much of the stuff is great. And yet somehow you put it all together and you jump in a game and you go, I hate my life.
Like, I hate this.
Like everything is here. Why is it not clicking? Like that's honestly what it feels like. Like. For some reason, it clicked a little bit more like 3 years ago. But now I go in and it's like, what? What is this?
Yeah, it's just a clown fiesta of just a mess that it doesn't know what it wants to be. It's just I hate it.
I mean, literally, the only problem is like the sandbox, because I can't even complain. Like as far as I've always, you know, played like input lag, latency, hit registration. I can't be like, oh, the friggin' Blizzard servers, they suck. Like, no, they're pretty solid. They've always been solid. Like, I like the comp rating system when I played. I guess a lot of the characters do have interesting kits and stuff. Like, that's not, but like for some reason, you just go in, and it's just
and it sucks.
I think the big problem like that is like it's just slowly. Been refined gameplay wise more and more and more into just death ball like group as five,
like
less skill intensive, because like that's the problem, is like a lot of the big old DPS players used to love to watch, like McCree's, Widows, Genji's, Hanzo's, all that, like irrelevant now. They can't just get jumped on, auto-aimed.
Well, and like the other DPSs like, are very low, like Reaper, where you just hold left click and just like stand in front of things.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. Again, we talked about maybe, you know, just change.
They wrap it up with this. All of these factors combine to make Overwatch a singular special shooter, and one that I would recommend to anyone without hesitation. Would you recommend Overwatch?
Oh, God.
If they've never played it,
I would say probably, and they probably get some fun out of it.
Yeah, and then just stay in low elo.
Just like have maybe, that game be the learn. If you're learning PC gaming, like have that maybe be the game you learn it on.
Maybe. Yeah,
that's really not a bad game to introduction to PC.
Mechanic. That's what I learned on.
Yeah.
And there's always there's interesting characters people can gravitate to and like. So, I mean, like, I would, but, like, at the same time, but then it's like, all right, would you, like...
What would your guys' video... What would you guys give Overwatch today if you guys were the IGN reviewer and you did a review?
Dude, man, if
I mean, that'd be a little rough.
If it was 4 years ago, I would have given Overwatch, like, a 9.5 to a 10.
Yeah. Original score's a 9.6.
100%. If it came out...
I'd agree with that.
When it launched, I would have probably given it a 10. Just because it was, I mean, like just an evolution of hero shooters. And then, man, like now I would probably give the game like a 6.5, 7.
Yeah. Like I think at launch I wouldn't have given it a perfect until, because I think it took them like 2 weeks or something to put out comp.
Yeah.
Because like after a week and a half, it felt like, okay, like Quick play's fun, but like I need, yeah, like I need, there needs to be something else. And when comp came out, then it was perfect. You have this for like casual, you have this for competitive. I think that's where it was at its peak. But then, yeah, like now, I mean, that's the hard part is like fundamentally, you look at the game, you look at everything it's got going for it. You're like, it's good.
Own esport league.
Yeah, like this, but for some reason, you can't even pay me to play like a game because I just don't have fun.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that factor is, whatever's going on there. But yeah, for that fact alone, I'd give it like a 5, a 6, which I don't think is fair. Like, that's why, yeah, I said, like, don't get me to review it. But like, for me, like, I'd put it down there because
this biased
like,
guy doing it, dude. Like, what difference is it you're doing it? Like,
at no point am I ever like, you know what? I'm going to hop on some Overwatch. Yeah. I haven't felt that in 2.5, 3 years. Like, I don't even know.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what?
Let's fire it up.
Time.
Yeah. Let's play some Hanzo, right? And then you hop in, you just get jumped on by Winston's left and right. You go, all right, I'm out.
What about you, Blue? What's your score for Overwatch?
He said like 6.5, 7.
6.5, 6.5. 7.
Yeah, I'd be like 6, 6.5. Just like, I'd be shitting all over the game.
I'm bitter. So don't listen to me. I'm like a bitter old man.
You know what you should listen to?
This ad read.
Yeah, see?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome back to GG Over Easy, where we give the most honest reviews about the most honest things at the most perfect, that's not even the right time, you know.
Okay,
4 years later, dude, you know what the world needs?
An
Overwatch review. So I took it upon myself. Spoilers,
it's such a weird pick for that day.
I wrote that article.
Oh, Mr. Fruit,
did you? Who did?
I mean, it like, come back to Overwatch, guys. Trust me, my YouTube content. I'll do customs again. Come back, guys. So,
somebody had to have written it like a year ago, and they're just saving it. Like, all right, it's a real slow day. All right, just throw it up.
Surprised.
Yeah, they like change it from like 3-year review to like 4-year. This put everything at 4. Like, all right, put it up. But that leads us to, and Blue is going to lead us into video game reviews in general.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, we don't agree with that video game review in any way, shape, or form. And over the years, especially over the past 5 years or so, It kind of seems like video game reviews have become less and less relevant toward the consumer perspective. Yeah. So I'm wondering if you guys, or pretty much any of us, actually still take video game reviews seriously. Because I remember back in the day, I would look at review scores and I'd be like, oh, this game, oh,
that's
dude,
what you base 95, game off of.
Yeah, 95 out of 100. GameSpot, this game is going to be legendary, like bro. Yeah, when GameSpot was at 10, it's like, bro, GameSpot gave it a 10, bro.
Yeah, but I remember now, I was going to IGN.
Nintendo Power, yeah. Dude, 9.5. Like, let's get it.
Yeah, Nintendo Power reviewing the newest Mario game. Yeah, it's a 9.5.
Yeah, no bias there.
It's definitely 9.5. But how much do video game reviews matter to you guys now? Because
in terms of like a big like media mark, like an IGN or like a GameSpot, most of those places are like paid. Like, hey, if you like, I'm not sure if it's like public, but like if it's like a under the table, hey, like give us a good review, like we'll hook it up a little bit, or like
give us a
clearly
good review,
like
kid.
Clearly like that guy who loves Overwatch 2 is clearly like can't take his bias out of that opinion at all. So you also have to like take into account who the reviewer is, and most of the time the reviewer is just some random. Like I'm looking up at this what this guy's reviewed in the past. This guy. And the only other games he's ever reviewed are other FIFA games. Like, I'm not going to take advice from a guy who's only ever reviewed a FIFA game, which is the same fucking game for the past 20 years, and gives it a 9.2 every single year.
The like, innovation this year is insane.
Yeah.
I pulled
so
Ronaldo.
So, if anything, I get my like game reviews from like you guys or the Angry Joe show. Or something like that. I'll watch him, or I'll come to you guys. And if there's something like a game that you genuinely like, I know you guys are gamers, so I normally just go to my gamer friends if I have like any kind of review.
Oh my god, I'm a
gamer. You guys are gamers.
I would say I gave up caring not only on those reviews, but reviews, entertainment reviews in general, like a couple years ago.
Oh, even like movie reviews? You don't Rotten Tomatoes?
No. Nope.
Like you don't. Really? That's the only one I kind of hold my metrics to.
Because here's the thing, as far as reviews go now. First off, I think we've talked about this. Rating scales are garbage, and they don't give any good indication. Because you could get like the worst video game ever, and they'll be like, 6 out of 10.
Like, on a scale of fingernail to pigtail, what do you give this score?
Like, you'll never find something below like 6 out of 10. Like, it muddies the score. Like, okay, that's an 8, and that's a 9, and it's 8.2, 7.5. They all hover around the same. It's like, okay, give me a breakdown. What exactly is like factoring in the score? I still believe reviews should literally, like for video games, let's say it's literally like, don't purchase, like borrow your friend's account. Get it yourself, must buy. Like something like that, where it's literally just like essentially skip it. Maybe a one-time play or like, this is the game. At least that gives some little more of a metric, but I think the rating system in general is garbage. It doesn't give me anything. And the only time I pay attention to reviews is when it's a big game and it's flopping. Cause then that's usually more indicative. Cause like,
that's when you're just like,
well, and then that's usually like, okay, like that. Okay. This is probably a sign of something. Let me look into it. But otherwise every review, 8 out of 10, 8.5 out of 10, every game now it's, 8, 8, 8.5, 9. It's like, okay, I don't really know the difference anymore. So for me, it's usually like, is this interest me and do I have fun with it? It doesn't have to be a perfect game, but do I have fun with it? And so that's the same way for me with movies. I'll find that some not critically acclaimed movies or like even some movies that are like rated rotten or whatever, I still go, huh, yeah, that was entertaining. Okay. I probably won't watch it again. I don't watch like anything again. But like, yeah, like I don't regret watching that once. And then I go like, I wonder what it got. Like 12%. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Like that's the same with like some video games. It's like, it's just the reviews are so skewed. The scales don't make any sense. And like Rob was saying, maybe it's a conspiracy tinfoil thing, but it seems like majority of the time there is something going.
There is an underlining something always.
With a lot of these reviews, yeah.
I mean, they're a big media conglomerate that gets a lot of readers and clicks, man. Of course they want, like... Because, like, to the normies, you see IGN, like, because We're woke, guys. We're woke gamers dude,
we're woke gamers, bro.
Yeah, we're woke. All right, so we don't look at IGN.
Those are fake gamers.
He's got his Oculus headset.
Like,
on,
let's be real.
Perfect.
Like, I'm woke as shit. Yeah, we woke over here. But like,
I can't even see you. I'm woke.
The rest of the gaming community, like, is not woke. Sleep. So they They're like sleep. IGN. And stuff.
They're asleep.
Yeah, they sleep and read IGN. We're out of the Matrix. We took the red pill. We don't read that shit.
Oh my god, bro! Keep it on every podcast, dude. Keep it on every podcast.
Maybe if I just have pink guy forever. Blue, do you like take any reviews seriously though?
I used to for sure, but as time has went on, it's kind of become like most of the games I'm into now aren't even like reviewed well on from reviewers in general, like. What PUBG didn't even get reviewed until like way late in the game. Like Fortnite didn't even actually get reviewed because everything's like early access now.
Most of the time, too, what I look for is like, give me the TLDR, like bullet points, like con.
Yeah.
Like pro con, like a general overview, too, so I can get a feeling for their rating. But then aside from that, it's like, all right, I'll play it for myself or ask somebody I know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but just thought came in my head.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's kind of just gotten to the point where I don't even get my information from new, like gaming websites anymore. It's all through like Twitter, through like Reddit.
Yeah.
People play the game. Like, you could literally watch people. Like, if you're interested in the game and you're not sure if it's good or not, you could literally
go
watch
on Twitch.
Anybody on YouTube or Twitch nowadays to get like a direct feed of like what you're looking for, whereas on gaming review sites it's always like bits and snippets and
yeah.
Oh yeah, well this was pretty cool, as opposed to like I could literally just watch this dude do exactly what I'm looking for to see if I want this game or not.
Yeah, I do that too. Even me, I look up other creators, like have they made some on this, what is it like?
Dude, yeah,
okay. So I just looked it up. I looked up the 10, the only 10 out of 10s IGN has ever given. Okay, so I guess throw Overwatch on this list now. These are all the 10 out of 10s, modern games that IGN has ever given a 10 out of 10 to.
What is modern? Like 10, 20 years? Like
I don't know.
Current
it just
gen?
Says, it just says modern, whatever right. that means. Persona 5 Royal. Never played it. Half-Life Alyx. They gave that a 10 out of 10.
Weeb's nom.
Red Dead Redemption 2. That got a 10 out of 10. God of War, the newest and most recent.
Boy.
That got a 10 out of 10. Celeste received a 10 out of 10. Super Mario Odyssey got a 10 out of 10. Undertale, still need to play that game.
I haven't played that.
The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild got a 10 out of 10. A game called Inside, I don't know what that is. It looks kind of spooky. The Witness, that's that puzzle game that I still need to beat. That got a 10 out of 10. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. I know Blue played that a lot.
That game was tight.
GTA 5 got a 10 out of 10. The Last of Us, which I, Blue, I read the leaks, and let me tell you, wow. The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. I never played Skyward Sword. I thought the Wiimote was whack. I was like, that's stupid. I don't want to do that.
I got to respect that.
Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. I've never played an Uncharted game.
I played the multiplayer, that's about it. Because I missed the first two because I had 360. So, never.
Yeah. Pac-Man Championship Edition. Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare. That was like the zombie DLC.
The DLC, yeah.
That it had. My little brother played that a lot. Super Mario Galaxy 2. I think the Super Mario Galaxies are whack. GTA 4. I never really played GTA. I don't know if you guys did. That one at least.
In my Christian household? Nice, man.
Probably another Blue Westlow game here. Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns
Hide as Fog.
Really?
One of the best games of all time. This is not disputable.
Really? That's easy. That's
I will not accept
IGN got 10. It right.
Easiest 10 ever.
IGN got it right. Pokemon Red and Blue. Is
I mean, obviously, yeah. But, like, what?
And then the Legend, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time is the last one. I got a 10 out of 10. And now Overwatch 4 years later. 10 out of 10.
Okay, I pulled the list up. Let me break down roughly. At least the games I can like speak to. I'm not going to be like, oh, I didn't play that game. That game sucks. I can't do that, right? Half-Life Alyx, though, I will say, from what I've seen and stuff, as far as like a VR game, from what, at least from a viewer perspective, oh, that looks
like very like pushing the VR
back. Yeah, that like that looks like, at least for what we currently have, like the, if you're going to play VR, like that right now is the game. So I would say, again, I haven't played it, but just from a viewer point, like especially if we're being like, well, for a VR game, I definitely think that would make sense.
I can't do it. It makes me sick.
Well, same. Red Dead Redemption 2, we have to note that this is not taking in the multiplayer. Like, this is the story. And off that, I would say yes, I agree.
I never got the round to beating it.
Story's fantastic. I mean, like, everything it did, the immersion, characters, storytelling, open world. I mean, I'm all
just
for it.
The game itself is just super impressive, too. Just like, yeah. NPC, like when you get dirty, like your clothes eventually get dirty. Like, that shit's cool.
I mean, I just, yeah, it was very close to like, I mean, it's arguably like the best cowboy simulator we have, right? God of War. I mean, that might be my game of all time. So I would say 100% yes.
Game of the decade?
Like, best game ever for me.
Wow.
I was super impressed with that game. So that's up there. Celeste.
I watched Lyric try and fight that boss for like.
Oh, the Valkyrie Queen?
Yeah.
How
long did that take you?
Took me about an hour 15.
Oh, dang. Lyric, like 25 hours, I think.
Well, so he was doing it on like Valkyrie difficulty or whatever. Like literally like the hardest. I was doing it on.
Give me God of War.
Yeah. I was like, I think regular. Difficulty, but I remember when I fought it, my gear level was like three levels below, which was like bare minimum to fight. So if I had had the right gear, oh, it would have been over. Yeah, way over. But personally, I love fights like that, because I was actually thinking about this in like the shower the other day. Maybe it was today. I don't remember. I think it's my OCD, because I love pattern recognition like that. Like I like things to make sense, and I like fighting bosses like that.
I like things
because yeah, because then I can identify and I know, okay, I see this is what's going to happen, and then I like to learn the entire fight, and then I know every like quote unquote pattern. I don't know, because I was thinking back to it, like I loved the Valkyrie fight. It was like frustrating, but there's that thing about that, and like those games like the Souls games and stuff, it's like identifying patterns and then nailing it, like Sekiro and all that kind of stuff. So I love that final boss fight. Celeste, I've only heard one good things about the story. And it apparently does a really good job touching on...
I thought you made a video on it.
I haven't beat it, but I made a video on it. But it does a really good job apparently touching on like some social aspects, especially like depression and whatnot. And then the platforming itself, super impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say it's like the snappiest, best feeling platformer out there. And even the bits I played, I was like, this. I literally wanted
like satisfying when you hit the pop, pop, like
everything. Like literally, when I was done, I wanted to play more just because the gameplay felt that satisfying. It's strange, but they did a super good job of that. So I'd agree with that. Super Mario Odyssey. I can't say I played it.
Yeah,
I know most people like.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much every Super Mario game is tight just because Nintendo
puts a lot of effort into them.
I watched Donkey's review, and I was like, I agree. They stopped watching Donkey's video? Yeah, I'm down. Perfect game.
I agree.
They're, like, okay, see, like, there is a good example of a quote-unquote review I like. Like, when Donkey does a review.
Somebody you trust.
It's somebody I trust, but also on top of that, he doesn't have like any underlying motives. Like for instance, like we're sitting here like, are they paid? Just the fact alone that like it raises those questions already kind of.
Yeah, he's literally like true neutral. Yeah.
You know,
like,
for a fact.
Yeah.
Like if Donkey's saying something, it's either because he hates it or loves it, and there's no reason behind it. So when he makes a video like that, not only that, but like he goes into why. He goes into the like
the intricate parts plays on like a trope that like
yeah games, yeah and like, the gameplay specifics, and he'll relate it to other things if he can, or if it does something well, what exactly does it do well and why does it do well compared to what it doesn't do well. Or like when he does review, it's very in depth and it doesn't mince words, and it's like, I understand. Like I watched that, I was like, I've played Super Mario Odyssey, I watched Donkey's video. Undertale again, have not. I know it took the world by storm.
I played a little bit of it. The little thing where you move the heart is pretty fun. It reminds me a lot of Cuphead.
I know it's. I mean,
how's Cuphead not a 10?
Dude, I love Cuphead.
That's cheese.
That's one of my favorite games.
Yeah, me too.
So Undertale again, can't speak much to it, but I know, especially as far as like indie games, I feel like that one and like Stardew, and I guess you could go back further to like Braid and Fez and stuff, but I feel like those are some of those ones that like
Super
when
Meat
people
Boy.
Think like, yeah, like think indie games, it's like those are the indie games, like the ones that really took off, especially Undertale's more recent. It says here August 15th, 2017. So like the indie craze, I would say it was more like 2011, 2012. And that's when everyone's like, wait a minute, you can like actually survive making a video game by yourself or with a couple people. But I think what they did was really cool. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, I will say I have played. Didn't finish. But it lost me. So for me, I wouldn't give it a perfect. I still think it was a great game. I'd give it like a 9. But a perfect? I don't know. I think you both have played it, so feel free to disagree with me.
Oh, I didn't beat it. I'd like Ocarina of Time better. I can't give you can't for me, I can't give more Zelda games in the series a 10. Like there can only be one 10 in a Zelda series, and that's Ocarina of Time.
Blue, what do you stand on Breath of the Wild?
I think Breath of the Wild is the best Zelda game of all time. While also being one of the best video games of all time.
But I will give this. Zelda Breath of the Wild is the most drastically different from any other Zelda game.
That's true.
It's so different from.
I'll give him that.
It's very different, and that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't like it as much.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get to like. There's been so many open world games, right? And with Breath of the Wild, it was like. It's like the first time you. Man, how do I describe it? It's like the first time you watched like a crazy computer generated flick, right? Like when you really saw something that was uncanny and you're like, wow, like, oh, dude, this is crazy. Like how people felt when they saw like that Avatar movie the first time.
Or Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Or Jurassic Park. Yeah. That's another great example. And there's plenty of movies that are back in the day. There's plenty of movies that already did that stuff. But when they did it, it was like, whoa. Like, this is nuts. And that's how I feel about Breath of the Wild, where there's so many open world games, but when Breath of the Wild did it, it was like, holy shit. Like, I'm never going to experience a game like this. I might not ever experience a game like I just did ever again.
What map is bigger, GTA 5 or Breath of the Wild?
Well, I also don't think that's quite fair. I don't know the size, but I don't think it's quite fair because GTA
really
is denser.
Yeah, I don't know which one's bigger, and that really doesn't matter because
they do different things, too.
Yeah, they both do completely different things. Like in Breath of the Wild, I can appreciate scenery, but at the same time, like when I go over a hill, I'm like, man, like legit, I was like, man, I wonder what's going to be over that fucking hill. Like what's going to be there for me to explore? And like literally on lunch, back when I was at my old job, literally I brought my Switch in. And I had one of those stupid like commercial moments where it was like, what did you do over your lunch break? And they were like, oh, I ate some sushi. And then I'm like over here like,
I fought a hobgoblin.
Yeah, well, I went to a secret shrine at the top of a hidden mountain and slayed a dragon to free it from its mortal coil. What did you do?
like
Breath of the Wild for me.
I just had a leftover tuna sandwich.
Like, yeah.
Well, I would say too, I think the problem was like from when I did play it, I did enjoy it. But I think for me, I was also fatigued just on open world games. Because that was around the time, and I mean, I feel like it's starting to make a bit of a resurgence too, but there's just so many open world games. And for me, I needed something more linear at the time. So again, like I don't really have anything bad to say about the game. So when I played, I had fun. It was just, I would just give it a 9 just because, like, I didn't finish it. But again, I think, like I said, I don't really have anything to knock it on. Yeah. And like you said, like, your opinion on that game isn't the first one I've heard of that. Like, people who play that game, like, almost everyone's like, I loved it. And even for a lot of people who didn't hardcore game like that too, with like a Switch, tried Breath of the Wild, and they're like, yeah, I have like 200 hours in it. That's more than my Candy Crush. Like, so I do think it did something really cool. And I do appreciate too, like you said, like, that's pretty drastic compared to like what we would have expected from a Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
So I can understand why it made the list. I guess just on my personal list, it wouldn't make it just because I should go back and give it another chance, or maybe I will with the second one, but it seems like, aside from nostalgia on like Ocarina of Time, most people seem to think that this is now the best Legend of Zelda. I know you hate to hear it, Rob, but
yeah, but they're wrong, so.
But then there was Inside, which I haven't played, but I know it's the like a spiritual successor to Limbo, which is another one of those indie games I'd put on that list of like kind of spearheaded the, like the indie game movement, the indie game boom. Never played it, but again, like Limbo, it appeared to be amazing. So The Witness.
Oh, that's that puzzle game, dude. It's actually pretty sick. I actually really like it. I've gone back to it every now and then. It's pretty fun. I like puzzles.
My only experience with The Witness was launch day. There'd been all this weird talk about this weird, bizarre game. I was like, let me check it out. Lyric streaming it. I check it out. And I've never felt more like Twitch chat that day. Sitting here watching him try to do a puzzle that is like, to me, I was like,
like, this quite is quite elementary.
Well, it was literally like, this is the tutorial, dude. Like, it's literally like, oh my God. I was literally about to like type in chat. Like, I'm like, I'm that guy right now. Mm-hmm. And I just got so infuriated. That was my experience.
I'm going to backseat this guy.
That was all my experience. I was just so upset. And then I was also like, wow, I'm too invested in this. Like, I need to stop watching. Because so I was like, I'm that guy in chat right now.
You were on the cusp.
There's only two times that's happened. That one, and then one time I was watching Summit on Sea of Thieves, and he had a treasure map. Sweet Jesus. He could not find the X. And literally chat too, I wasn't typing, but chat was with me, and they're like, dude left. And he's like ignoring it. He's like, I can find it, guys. It took him like 2 hours. And it's a Sea of Thieves chest. Like, it's not rocket science. It's like an island, and it's only so big. Oof. I got heated that time. But yeah, as far as the actual game, The Witness, I don't know. That's my experience. I don't think you've played it. Have you, Blue?
Witness, no, I have not. I would not stop hearing about that game, though. And I was always interested, but I just never played it.
I should, though, because I do like puzzle games. I just, like, that's a game, though, like, I wouldn't probably do a video or stream on. Because for that same reason, there's always somebody that's like, well, I would have figured that out earlier. Like, I saw the solution immediately.
But of course. It's so simple.
I've played through the game 3 times, and I can't believe you don't already know how to do everything. It's like, Jesus. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. We got Blue over here, who's a stan. I only ever used it to like make a little funny montage video, so I don't really have much. I just knew it was fun to like parachute people up. Did enjoy that. And then of course all the tweets about Quiet. She's like that girl in the story that has like the weird eyeshadow, and she's only wearing like a bra or something. She has like the torn leggings.
Yes.
You'll know when you leave. Yeah, it took Twitter.
You can see it in my reflection.
Grand Theft Auto 5 doesn't surprise me.
Loved it. I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was sick when it first came out.
I mean, same thing as like.
Too.
Oh yeah, as far as Red Dead Redemption, like what they tried to accomplish, the scale and what they did. Not only that, but the multiplayer, like, and the story too, like everything about that game, like. they really delivered on. Can't really argue that one. The Last of Us, I haven't played it, but again, I've only heard great stuff. Legend of Zelda. No, I haven't. I need to before the second one.
I don't want. Maybe you just play the first
one. Skyward Sword. I'll be honest. I don't even remember the name. That name.
It's the one where the Wiimote was the first thing, I think, right? Yeah. Or is that Twilight Princess?
Twilight Princess was right before I sold my Wii. So I never had Skyward Sword or anything. Because that's when I sold it to get Halo 3.
Smart man.
Uncharted 3. I can't say much about that one. I did hear good things, but yeah, that came out in 2011. So the first three Uncharted, I couldn't even play because I had Xbox. Homo. What are these other ones? Pokemon Red and Blue. Pfft, let's go. I would say that...
Four Pokemon games haven't gotten a 10 out of 10, though.
I'm not.
Like, Heart Gold needs a 10 out of 10.
That one's up there. But I still think
we could... Heart Gold not get a 10 out of 10?
Because I think the reason Pokemon Red and... You put Red and Blue up there is because it's the first, pretty much, well, one game of its kind. Like, Pokemon... Like, there's a reason, you know, you'll say, like, oh, this is a Pokemon-like game. Right? Like, Pokemon pretty much made that genre of monster catching and blah, blah. Or at the very least, you know, Omega popularized it.
Yeah.
They made their formula. And on top of that, because it's the first one, like, it's not like, well, they could have added this quality. Like, this was the start. Like, the framework. And because of what they did, and at the time, everything, like, they were pushing boundaries. Like, it was pretty... groundbreaking, and I mean, it's the reason why Pokemon is what it is today, if it wasn't for Red and Blue. Now, as for, like, more recent games, it's because, like, this is Pokemon Red and Blue, but 12 years later, and they just added a keychain Pokemon. Point That's being, they just don't, they're not changing the formula. They're not, like, pushing boundaries. Like Legend of Zelda... Breath of the Wild, like, that's pushing boundaries. Like, you're like, wow, I did not expect that. There hasn't been a Pokemon game where I'm like, wow, I did not expect that.
Yeah,
I mean, saw a funny tweet, and it was like Corona. It was like Corona's not going to last that long, and it was like Diamond. It was like Pokemon Diamond and Pearl underneath it. It was like Corona.
Yeah, I think that's the reason you would have the originals up there. But then. Yeah, kind of same story with the recent ones, and we've touched on Blue and I plenty with the whole Pokemon bit, but it's just game. They just play it too safe. They have a formula; they know it works.
They really do.
And then Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time.
Yeah,
easy. Which Rob, I know you disagree with. That shouldn't be up there. Yeah, like
that should be an 11.
That should be an 11. A whole new rating system.
Gaming. That game taught me how to do puzzles.
Point is, I will say...
I gave it for me more than elementary school.
I agree with most of those. Or, like, literally the ones that I've played, at least. I can be like, yeah, I understand that. So, for the most part, I agree with them. Maybe that's a good
thing. But now we throw Overwatch in there now, right?
Yeah, but to see... Then it's like, I don't agree with that one.
I mean,
that's a tough sell. Long story short, though, those... A lot of, at least... Overview of perfect scores. I agree with most of those.
Mm-hmm.
But again, also those are ones that are easier. Like, it's a lot easier though to look at a game that great and just be like, wowzers. But then you get like when, you know, Ubisoft was like cranking out Assassin's Creed every year. It's like 9. I don't actually know what the ratings were, but like it wasn't even like, oh, they could have like, this is great. Or they'd be like, you know what? A little same, not much changed. Graphically wasn't great. Had some stuttering performance issues, glitches. Story didn't really sell me. Honestly, it didn't really add upon anything in the Assassin's Creed. 8.7. Like, I feel like that's a review so often too. It's like, I don't get it. So,
I don't understand anything.
But hopefully, you know what we will understand.
What?
This ad read.
How?
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've all been there too. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your bad habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that just does that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. I love how this thing looks. It's beautiful and real wood. The shape of it is so cool, and I look cool using it. So if you want to be like me and break your bad habit, start the year off right with the good habit by trying fume.com/GG and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off whenever they use the code GG to help make starting the good habit that much easier. So make sure you guys check it out in the description. Try fume.com/GG.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to GG Over Easy. We have so far stayed on brand for a good bit, a lot of video game talk. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad.
Pretty good.
Got into three topics. Very good for us.
So I feel like most of the listeners are,
doesn't happen often.
Yeah, they're like, they're actually staying on topic, dude.
Sweet.
Oh, wait, speaking of which, hey, while I work us into the next topic, somebody want to get us a review?
Oh, I could pull one up. Let me see. Apple Podcasts.
Before we do that, I'll sauce you up like Zack Snyder's trying to sauce up the Zack Snyder cut
I'm
for Justice
so
League.
Interested in that. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Big fan.
How could it be that much better? Like, what?
So I'm only interested because it's either going to turn out S tier or it's going to be like the biggest.
Still just
joke
a giant meme.
Because guess what? Mark Zuckerberg is still fucking what's his face in the movie. Like, that doesn't change.
I mean, that's
like,
still one of the worst castings of all time. Yeah, of course. Maybe in the Zack Snyder cut, Lex Luthor's just not in it.
Well, what about cool. Dooms and then Doomsday? Like, hello.
Well, I think there's a lot of problems with that. And we'll have to see how he cuts it. I have no idea. But I do remember, like, even at release, there was all this talk, like Zack Snyder had a cut, but Warner Brothers or DC or whatever is like, no. And then they did it and Zack Snyder didn't agree or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And then it hits the movie theaters and then it like bombs. So we've been waiting for this for a while. And I'm with Blue. I'm here. I'm interested because it's either going to be like, wow, DC messed up. Like they wouldn't be a joke right now if they actually did this. Or it's like, well, now Zack Snyder, you're like, nice one. Like, nice meme.
Like, yeesh. Like, yeah, it's either going to be incredible and, like, redeems it, or
I mean,
it's just
going to have to buy HBO Go Max or whatever it is. So,
I mean, that's probably the play, right? I mean, he's got a tall order ahead of him because it's going to be way easier for it to go poorly than it is to go well and wow people. So, we'll see.
Hold on. If you guess me what Rotten Tomato gave Justice League. And I'll say the fans. What did the fans give Justice League?
53.
Blue?
40.
The fans gave it a 71.
Where do you go, fans?
Actually, not bad. Hey, man, I'm pretty surprised. Yeah, they were a lot nicer than I'd be.
I actually didn't hate it, but I also didn't like it. I will say again,
I hated the filter.
I liked Batfleck.
I thought Batfleck was pretty good, man. I know people hated
very
it,
okay.
But I thought Batfleck was pretty all right.
Yeah. I'm really upset they didn't go further with him.
Do you think their end of the resolution and the conflict is because they have the same mother's name in Zack Snyder's version?
I hope not. But I feel like that's going to be pretty hard to work out, though. Like, that's...
I just feel like Zack Snyder's watching that happening. He's like, exactly like
how. Well, because unless they have an alternate, like, footage of that pinnacle moment, there's no other way for you to realize, oh, they're on the same team. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, but I have a review right here. At least I did. I lost it. Okay, no, we have it. All right. From Outlet 4, titled 420 Stars. I've been watching Mr. Fruit and the Dream Team for a long time. In fact, you could say that they've even helped me a lot in my tween years with their Destiny videos. Now that I'm in high school, I watch Mr. Fruit and still play Destiny 2, regrettably. This podcast is great to listen to while I sit back and relax, yet also keeps you engaged with insightful conversations and amazing chemistry. Whoa. It truly feels like a group of longtime friends, and I'm really happy I've gotten to watch them for so long. Love you, Rob, Blue, and Fruit. Thanks, Outlet. Thanks, that was very nice and wholesome, and I really just picked a random one, and you
should
killed
it. Should we be worried that he admits he has poor judgment with Destiny 2, so does that mean he has poor judgment in content?
No, we extrapolate that? No, shut up.
I was expecting him to be like, you helped me in my tweens, but then I grew up and realized, wait a minute.
Wow, you kind of suck.
You guys suck.
I watched you.
There was this stupid Reddit post. Oh my god, here we go. Let me find it. On the Mr. Fruit subreddit.
Those. I don't know why you do this to yourself.
So I go to
the Reddit. The Reddit has I'm like, mostly banger posts.
It's
sometimes
called,
you get some posts in there that are wild.
It's called What Happened.
Oh.
And essentially, I've been subscribed to Miss Fruit since the summer of the end of Taken King. Been a huge fan. Blah, 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 blah. I haven't watched a video of his and actually enjoyed it in almost 6 months. I'm definitely not saying that his videos have become bad.
Have you not watched the Jackbox videos, man?
Just that they've changed, but I can't really put my finger on how they've changed. Does anyone else feel similar? And then, like,
no, man, that's just like called you're changing and you're just becoming somebody different, and you can watch other content without making people feel shitty about it. That's just what it is. There's nothing about us that's changed. It's something about you that is changing, and there's still nothing wrong with that.
Worst part, too, is like, I'm putting more effort in editing here.
Yeah.
And it's 6 months ago. It's like, sucks. I was like, well.
You suck, bro.
I mean, someone does have a good point. Like, part of it might be the fact that, like, games pretty dry right now. Like, we don't have the channel and us, we don't really have a main game right now.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been one. I mean, not even Destiny anymore. Because that's just a meme.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably part of it. But, I mean, at least for me.
Yeah.
But I still have just as... When I make a video, I'm like, this is a banger, dude. And then it's like...
I still have fun recording.
Hey, all right. I'll send that 20 to your PayPal later. Thanks.
Speaking of television, I know Christian is a big stan of this series. Or, I guess, franchise. Snowpiercer. Did you watch the premiere?
I'm gonna be honest, until like a week ago, I didn't even know it was a thing.
Me either. I saw a trailer for it. I was like, Chris Evans?
I saw an ad on like Twitter, like scrolling through, like Snowpiercer appearing on like TNT the Sun, like TV shows. Like, wait, what? How did I not hear about this? So yeah, there's like a new Snowpiercer show on TNT that is based on the books and the movie. And obviously, I mean, even just in the first episode, you see some of like how they've taken some creative freedoms or like some of the plot twists. If you've seen like the movie and stuff, that like a twist to what you would normally think. But I already think it's just a super interesting concept. So like, I'm going to watch the show anyway, because in this one, like the train's like 1,001 carts long or something like that.
Oh, so it's way.
Yeah, it's like a mega long. And so it's just like I'm there literally, even if it's not the most interesting, I'm just going to enjoy seeing how they like imagine this world and these cars and how they would like actually survive like this. Like, that was the most interesting part to me, is like this, like
the logistics of it.
Yeah. Like this fake scenario. And the first episode was promising.
Well, what was funny is like, you're like, I didn't know this was coming out. I was watching like, it was like a Hulu show. And then like the advertisement started and like, it was like, we live on this train for hundreds of years. And I was like, oh, like that's cool. And then like I was watching, it's like, oh, that kind of like sounds like Snowpiercer. And I was like, this is ripping off Snowpiercer. And I was like, why is nobody upset that this is Snowpiercer? And then it's like, watch Snowpiercer. And I was like, oh,
that's because it is Snowpiercer.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Very cool. No Chris Evans, but that's okay.
I know. I feel like right now he's probably a pretty expensive sell.
Also, yeah, I was gonna say also Snowpiercer is pre Captain America Chris Evans
rate. The rate for him is a little different.
Yeah, I'm sure his rates are has changed just a little bit.
I'd actually just seen him for the first time. I saw Scott Pilgrim versus the World the other night.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys have seen that before.
I love that movie. And
okay, Blue's about to hate me.
People never stop reminding me about how I sound like Michael Cera from Scott Pilgrim.
I think it's a very overrated movie, and I think it's very
overrated. An overrated movie.
There we go. Boom, roasted.
Yep.
Mic drop.
Boom, roasted.
That movie is sick as shit, dude.
It's cool. I like the like when he jumps up and it like still has like the comic book kind of esque kind of things to it. That's cool, but I don't know. It's just
so you're telling me you're a nerd ass and you didn't feel anything when you watched Scott Pilgrim.
Not really, and probably because when it came out, I was like cool high school guy, and so I was like, I don't know. I guess I haven't seen it in maybe.
What kind of loser watched Scott Pilgrim? Probably like plays Animal Crossing.
When did that come out?
2011, I think.
Oh yeah,
that movie was ahead of its time.
Because that's when I remember I was like all these big names. It was kind of the same thing. Like Chris Evans was there, Brie Larson. She's only 19. Obviously Michael Cera, I can't remember all the people, but like some big names. I'm like, geez, it reminds me when I watched Band of Brothers. I'm like, oh my God, he's in this. Oh my God. He was in there for like 3 seconds and now he's like the big, like,
yeah,
it's like, it's so weird seeing people before, like, you know, like they really hit off. But I really liked it. Yeah. Especially some of the humor parts. I had quite a couple of chuckles. Like at first, I wasn't super sold. I was like, I'll give it some more time. But then once the movie started to get going, and
have you ever seen the movie American Ultra? It has like the guy from
sounds super familiar,
Lex Luthor in it, and the girl from Twilight.
Oh yeah.
That movie's dope. I love that movie.
There was some parts during Scott Pilgrim where it was mainly him. And like the, I can't remember her name, but like the different colored hair chick, like the major love interest, whatever.
Yes.
And they're in like snow and it's like a weird dream sequence. There's a door and it made me just want to rewatch Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I believe that's the title.
I've never seen that.
That's
like with Jim Carrey, right?
So good. Yeah.
Yeah, I've
never seen
like
that.
When the movie, they can like, you can choose to erase memories, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen that, you are doing a disservice to yourself. It is fantastic.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll watch that because Cindy and I, we've been watching a lot of movies again. And yesterday we watched Slumdog Millionaire.
Ooh, great movie.
Yeah. Wasn't my first time, but like, it was a great movie. Just a good movie.
Aside from that, I guess. Quickly, we can talk on Crucible. Not that Crucible.
The Amazon one.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't play it yesterday. Did you guys have fun?
Well, Blue, have you played it?
I have not played it. I don't really have an interest in playing it. I've seen so many people on Twitter be like, hey, this kind of looks like Paragon. And my response is always, thanks, buddy. This is like the 80th game people have said. This is kind of like Paragon.
I mean, it does, like... Plain and like graphically, it looks like it sometimes.
Do not do this.
I'm gonna tell you, like, don't bother.
I'm done. I'm out, bro.
It's not worth it. I'm not telling you to play it. All right.
Okay.
But dude, bro, you gotta play it.
I just want Paragon.
It's
you
like
gotta play this.
I mean, it came out of nowhere, really. Like, I hadn't known much about it, and then they had the trailer like 3 weeks ago or something, right? Like 3-2 weeks ago, and you're just like, yo. This is our game. It's coming out in like 2 weeks. I'm like, oh. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And we did. And it was like, all right. But it tries to be so many different things at once that it doesn't really do any one thing well. Like, well, that's it. I don't know how to explain it myself.
It's not an arena shooter?
Well, because there's like two different modes. One's a battle royale and one's not. The Battle Royale mode 100% feels like they threw it in the last second.
Because the game, it's Battle Royale!
Yeah, like the game does not... Because it's like the Battle Royale is technically like 10 team or like 9 teams of 2. Like 2 teams of 9. Wait, yeah, no, 9 teams of 2. And it just... Nothing about it says like, yep, this is how the game is supposed to be played. Then the other mode is 4v4. And the best way I could describe it is it's like the cycle with heroes or like hero shooter characters and MOBA-esque leveling, but you don't level abilities.
Stop. I already hate it.
You don't have an ultimate though. And the objective is you fight over this hive thing that spawns every couple minutes. And when you kill it, it drops a heart. And you have to capture that heart. But you can't do it if you're taking damage. So, like, obviously, you're supposed to fight over it. First team to capture 3 hearts wins. Except what we also found out is a pretty dumb mechanic is if you destroy that hive, which isn't exactly... It's not, like... It's usually not easy to do. You'll take a lot of damage. Then the heart spawns. You get nothing. It's just whoever captures the heart. So for all you want, you know, enemy team could just be like, yeah, just wait for them to kill it. Oh, they killed it. All right, cool. Let's just roll up now. And that's kind of what happened.
You don't get like a buff for like actually killing the hive?
No, like there's nothing for it. Like you have to capture that heart. And the capture itself takes like 15 seconds. So it essentially just becomes, we killed the hive. Oh, great. We're getting ganked. Oh, we're all dead. Oh, they captured the heart. Some of the character designs, some of them are good. Some of them are like, what? And so that's what I'm saying. Like, I want to like it. And I didn't not have fun, but I don't know if I'd ever log back in. And so it's just strange because at moments it felt like Battleborn, or it could have been like Battleborn. And I'm like, Blue, he wants Paragon back. I want Battleborn back. Please. Why don't we just get a Battleborn Paragon baby? You know, somebody make that, please. But no. So that was my... At first, people were like, yo, you got to play this, dude. It's like Battleborn. I was like, yes. And I got on. I was like, no. I don't know. That's one of the few... Because, like, as far as, like, game releases in the next couple months, we know about most of them. So, like, when there's a surprise announcement like that, it was like, a hero shooter. I'm like, yes. Yeah, I'm like, okay. Okay, surprise me. And I'm not surprised. So, still waiting for, you know, that announcement to come out of left field and just be like, sick. But it's not there yet. And I'm sad. So, really, all it did was make me sad. It's free to play, though. So, hey. At least you don't have to pay money.
I mean, that's high. Like.
Yeah, hey, well, dang it, right? And that's pretty much that. Do we have some Patreon questions, Rob?
Yeah, I have some pulled up right here. Let's see. We have a question from Cosmic. If you had to live with anyone in the Extended Dream Team, who would it be and why? So Extended Dream Team, that means that would exclude you two, right?
Yeah. Okay. I assume it would have to be like we have to choose outside of us. Yeah, because
Blue would be my choice originally. I would just like to say that. Yeah, because I think you're very clean in the aspect of you don't clean like your room, like you don't keep that clean. But like that's your space. Like I ain't going in there. So like whatever. Like you could do that. But like in the common area, I feel like you would keep that like clean because you have that anxiety of oh shit, I don't want these people to think I'm like a not a clean person. So I gotta be like overly clean. So now you're like overly clean in like common area spaces. But when it comes to your own space, you seem like me that it just is kind of messy.
I'm actually total opposite. I keep my space like ridiculous, like really clean.
I
kind of slack at keeping common area spaces clean.
Oh, so we're the opposite. See, I keep my space.
That's
dirty.
Probably why we would work. That's probably why we would work out. You're right. Oh shit, dude, track. It's the slam dunk. Let's go.
But I guess we're going Extended Dream Team. I guess Datto, because he seems the most cleansiness that I can think of. Like Sammy, Shark, and Bless are automatically thrown out because they snore. Like, that's, you're out. Like, that's, I'm sorry. So probably just Datto off the fact he doesn't snore.
Even if they're in different rooms and stuff?
Yeah, dude. Like, dude, Sammy, when he, I'm not kidding you, dude. It woke me up from Claire's office. Like, to, and he was at the main living room floor. That shit was echoing that. Like, you know, in a cartoon when someone's snoring really loud and it like pulls in the house and then the house like expands when he really, it was like that. Like, it was like that. And I was like, I'm going to kill this kid.
I'd probably go Bless.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Yeah. He seems nice. He was certainly always trying to keep things clean at the Fruit Summit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he could serenade me or
funny guy,
cook me some stuff. Yeah. Karaoke. He'd always be about that. And you know what? Yeah. If I'm ever down, I'd be like, Bless.
Always let's watch. Down for a good time.
I'd be like, Bless. Scary YouTube videos. Content, yeah. Show me some ghost stories on YouTube. He's like, I got you, dude.
Is this place haunted?
He's like, I hope you don't have anything scheduled for the next like 7 hours.
What about you, Blue?
Okay, wait. I have to think about this.
Oh, you can live with Dork.
Okay, see, if I lived with Dork, there'd be way too many memes. Like, we would probably like blow up the house. That's probably like a bad. That's probably like the a house bad mix.
Pulls in from the memes.
It would be a gamer house, and like all the wallpaper would just be waifus.
A memer house.
It would be, yeah, it would be a straight memer house. Like, you walk in, it'd be like a clown house, just like with a lot of titties. It'd be weird. That would see. I couldn't do that with Dork. Damn, man.
I couldn't do Arios because he would go somewhere and not tell me, and he'd be gone for like days, and I'd be like, "Are you dead?"
Dude, Arios is way.
He's a wild.
Honestly, I would probably pick Arios.
Really.
I would pick Arios because Arios is super independent and on his own. And like,
that's true.
He'll just be gone. And you know what? I'm going to be like, tight. Yeah, he's doing his thing. I'm really like to myself, especially like in my living space. So if when I have a roommate, it's like my roommates never see me.
You're like a shadow. You're like,
it's a myth dorms, if I even exist in your same living space or not. Honestly,
dorms were rough, dude, in college. Whew. Never having just like truly your space. Oof.
I mean, you picked but you chose to live in the dorms.
I mean, year. Well, no, I didn't really have a choice, but that's a different.
Oh, topic. Really?
Yeah.
I think I would pick Arios. I feel like everyone else would want to be like, oh, I'm with my friend. Let's be social all the time. And I'd be like, dude, I'm level 80 Gunbreaker and I'm trying to do my duty roulettes to master my continuation combo. I need you to get the fuck out of my room right now, bro.
Please. You're like, this is totally a Mishu.
I'm getting ready for Savage Raid.
Like, okay, great. Yeah.
Focus. Yeah. I'll probably pick Arios just because I feel like Arios just does his own thing all the time and I'm doing my own thing all the time. And
upside to Arios like and Bless.
We're just like on two parallel planes and then like every once in a while he's going to be like, you want to go Chipotle? And I'd be like, fuck yeah, we'll go Chipotle. And then the parallel planes will intersect and then we'll go back.
Probably a second. Path. Yeah, and then they go back.
That's cool.
That sounds tight.
With Arios or Bless, we could be pump buddies. So that's one thing.
This is from Brandon. When did you guys realize that you had an impact, like the impact you guys have on people's lives? Is there a moment that like you kind of realized that and realized it was bigger than video games, I guess?
Oh,
he's asking.
Yeah, I definitely have one. It was
go ahead, Blue.
Our first St. Jude stream for Guardian Con was when I really realized like, oh shit, we raised like $100,000. That's not from like nothing.
I remember that.
Like, that's real people.
I went and got mac and cheese to celebrate.
Hell yeah.
I was so tired. I was like, I want mac and cheese. Like, we did a good thing.
It was, and it's so, those charity streams are so stressful. Mm-hmm. So, like,
bruh.
Just after it, I was like, man, like, this is kind of crazy. Like, this isn't like,
yeah,
this is real shit.
Yeah, this isn't a meme house. Like,
I think what you said, Blue. I think when I went to the St. Jude Hospital, For like the St. Jude event, like that is probably like when I really realized like the kind of impact that we can have on somebody's life. And then Guardian Con too, because a lot of people always come up to Christian and I and tell us their stories and stuff, and it's really humbling. And I have like a lot of stuff that like people sign and like letters they sign. It's really cool.
For me, it was probably like a year and a half into making videos, but someone emailed me, or at least like doing Mr. Fruit full time. And someone just emailed me, or it was either an email or in my P.O. box. I forget which. It was some sort of a letter where a guy pretty much just talked about how he'd been struggling and he was like about to take his life when he randomly happened upon like one of my videos and laughed for like the first time. And like, you know, he said like a year or something, and said like that was the one thing that stopped him from taking his own life. And then ever since, he's like gotten his life together, but that was like the one that just hit me like, dang, like me doing, being stupid somehow randomly at the right time, right place, helped some guy like keep going.
And they're like in their like biggest moment of like need, like to have somebody there.
And especially I felt like that because I had that in high school. Like I said, like I used to watch a lot of creators back then. They were like my rocks. So that was my realization moment.
Okay. We'll move to a slightly more upbeat topic. Most wanted Smash Ultimate DLC character.
I'm still saying we're gonna answer Goku. I mean, but it's never going to happen.
I would say Goku, but I mean, at this point, Cuphead's like, more likely.
Let's be realistic of somebody who could actually would say Sora, Vegeta. But then Sora, they did want him, but like
Square Enix said, nah. Like,
pay up the fucking cock for him. And they're like, nah, no, fam. I'm okay. Like, okay. gosh, like there's so many.
Yeah,
you know I think would actually be kind of cool now that like I kind of think about it? GoldenEye James Bond. That'd be kind of cool.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like GoldenEye James Bond. Like,
what is he gonna do though?
He does karate chops.
GoldenEye James Bond.
What more do I need to say?
He's GoldenEye James Bond, dude. I don't know what you want from me.
Or Conker. Conker would be really cool.
Conker would be sick.
I would really like to see Conker that at some point. Conker would be really cool. All
right, then I'll say Kratos.
That would be so sick.
Yeah. That would be. But they'd have to like PG him down, which would kind of be hard to do.
But he just has like two forms where he either has his axe or his chains. Different combat styles. It'd be sick.
That's a good one though.
And then
mine's gonna be a little oh, do you have to keep going,
Well, like his smash attack when he gets the ball could be his Spartan Rage, you know? Ball like do. Yeah. Anyway. Kratos
is tight. Yeah, I am gonna have to go with an off-brand pick here. It would be Prinny from Disgaea.
Who?
Oh, the guy that's based off of his avatar, the little penguin.
Wow. I used to use the Prinny as my mascot before I rebranded to my full penguin deer evolution.
But Blue, how would that?
It's like a mega Prinny evolution.
What would his attacks and stuff be?
So he has this entirely separate game called Prinny Can Never Really Be the Hero, where he has like air slashes. He's got two knives, two like mini blades that are tight. He has his hero form. He can do a whole bunch of different things. Their whole thing is that they explode. So it could be like a fun gimmick where every time like your Prinny gets defeated, like a new one pops out of nowhere, as opposed to like the same one coming down from the
like respawn
stage. Cause the lore behind Prinnies is that they're basically souls of sinners and they can't do anything on their own. So like that game, Prinny Can't Really Be a Hero, you have like 100 lives and it's like 100 Prinnies. Every single time one dies, it's a new Prinny you're playing. So it would be a cool concept. It'd be kind of tight.
That would be pretty sick.
But I mean, yeah, this guy's an RPG. Prinnies have all these different moves. So, and the hero Prinnies Titus book.
Well, I actually have said announcer from Sakurai. He actually texted me on my phone here. He is saying the next fighter is actually another Fire Emblem character. You heard it here first.
Yes.
Another Fire Emblem character
coming. That was actually my number one pick. Let's go, dude. Come on.
That's my realistic pick, another Fire Emblem character.
I'm over it.
Or
at
Gengar.
Least like, because I think, wait, Gengar. So Fire Emblem is like the most repped, and then
I think a Pokemon is the next one.
I think Pokemon's second, right? Honestly, what? I think adding more Pokemon though isn't bad because there's so much more you can do with that.
I think you can get so many Gengar, characters. Yeah. Throw Gengar like, in there.
Yeah,
you're probably going to pick one of the starters because that's they usually do. Well, they did Mewtwo, they did Lucario. And then they just did Greninja. Greninja was so popular they had to put in. So,
but that's like
Blaziken,
and then they put Incineroar. No, their current trajectory is putting in all the like one of the new starters. So
the owl,
That would have been sick. But they chose not to put him in.
Yeah, I actually at first I was pissed, but then I grew to like Incineroar.
Yeah, I'm still on the Incineroar train. If they do pick. Realistically, they would pick another starter, and the starter would probably be Rillaboom.
That'd be pretty sick.
I do not see them picking Inteleon, mostly because, God, that's a terrible design.
You think it has to be starter?
And they already picked...
What if it was Dragapult?
Dude, don't even play with me. Prinny's tight, but if it was Dragapult... Like, how would they translate Dragapult into a character?
I know his dodge, he like goes into the ground, right? Like he goes to the ground.
But he's never on the ground, he's always floating. I mean, I guess his tail could be his.
Or like he makes like a little like stealth bomber and like and he
Wait,
just like dodges
this?
In and out, like Dragapult, fades in
the stealth bomber Pokemon.
His neutral B is he does his little missiles.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Dude, if it was Dragapult, I would literally
was, like, down
bust my nut like live on stream. Like I was, oh my god, dude! I would love Dragapult, but I just feel like that's not realistic because he's such a hard just form to fit into Smash.
But Rillaboom, I just can't help but feel like he'd be like scuffed. DK.
Yeah, I could see that, but I mean. They've already done a water starter, which is Greninja. They did the fire starter in Incineroar.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like the most... They would either pick the new legendary, which they just revealed, which, that'd be okay.
Oh, or, the bear dude?
Or it would be Rillaboom.
I think, what about a Gen 1, though? Maybe get, like, the Gen 1ers kind of...
They already have Pokemon Trainer. They have Squirtle, Ivysaur, Charizard.
Yeah, they've pretty much never
and
much
Pikachu
never
and Jigglypuff.
Yeah, they've never like dipped previous into like a previous. The only time they ever did that was when they made Pokemon Trainer and Brawl.
We also have to think too, like with every DLC they do, it's usually somehow tied to promotion. And if they're going to do Pokemon, they want to promote their new game, Sword and Shield, or like I could see like Blue saying like DLC, like. Oh, this new DLC is about to come out. Well, guess what? The new legendary is like a new fighter too, and it's like whoa, something like that. Whereas it's like, here's Eevee. You're like,
God, man, the things I would do for Dragapult in Smash. But
I'm sorry, I
just
did
don't.
That to you.
I just, it's just not realistic, man. But now I have my hope up.
I didn't mean to do it to you. I'm sorry.
I think Mouse would be like more realistic than that.
If they somehow managed to translate him to Smash, I would pee my pants. I would squirt, dude.
I'd be there for it. That'd be hilarious.
That's nuts.
Gotta take these off now.
I'm gonna cry, dude. I'm gonna cry just thinking about it. That would be like
I'm gonna cry just thinking about how we have to end this podcast.
I was gonna segue that.
Keep your shades on, King. Never let him see you twice.
I just signed a $100 million thing for
Spotify. Congrats, dude. Yeah. That's.
Hey, Joe, we're proud of you. Hey, us at GG Over Easy are happy for you.
Hey, wait,
Joe.
Does that give us more lands? We're taking Joe's viewers,
hey,
dude.
Hey, Joe. Okay, sorry.
Dude, his audience.
YouTube, if you're not careful, we're leaving too.
Hey, I read his comment section. They're like, Joe, I love your show, but like, where's the Destiny 2 drama? Well, that's we got you guys. Come on over.
Yep. Spotify, sign us. Blue, where can people find you on the internet?
Hey, guys, you can find me everywhere at Blue Weslo.
You can find me everywhere at Rob EV.
You can find me everywhere, more or less, at Mr. Fruit. With that said, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the GG Over Easy podcast. We appreciate all you stands listening and or watching, leaving reviews, commenting, doing whatever you do, but making sure that you're still here to listen and that we can keep doing this. With that said, have yourselves a fantastic day. We'll talk to you in the next one. Farewell.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.